It's the Florida county known for some of the top schools in the country. Today, voters in St. John's decide whether those schools deserve higher taxes. Good Tuesday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. The show's always live at 9, and now subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And just ahead, we'll take your calls on Election Day in St. John's County today. Will the voters approve a new half-cent sales tax to pay for the explosive growth and the public schools that are needed there, new school construction? Get on the line now at 549-2937 and let us know your thoughts. Then later, an interesting new idea being floated for fixing the Jacksonville Skyway. We'll tell you about it. Plus, a look at this week's White House convening on the UNF campus, helping more students get prepared for college or career. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, voters in St. John's County go to the polls today to decide whether to approve a 10-year half-cent sales tax hike to benefit public schools. St. John's Superintendent Joe Joyner is making the case for this special surtax in a video on the district's website. Take a listen.
All revenues from a half-cent sales tax would stay in St. John's County and directly benefit our schools, our teachers, and our students. In addition, the fact is 25 to 40% of a sales tax would be paid for by out-of-county visitors.
If the voters approve this sales tax, the revenues would be used to build four new schools, as well as fix up or expand most of the other schools around the county. Polls in St. John's County are open right now until 7 p.m. tonight. Vicki Oakes, St. John's County Supervisor of Elections, is on the line now to set the scene for us as voters head out to the polls. Vicki, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. It's election day, actually, in a lot of cities around the country. And as you take an eye around your county, how do you anticipate turnout to be in St. John's today?
Well, we've gotten off to a really good start with our voters who had previously submitted ballots by mail, and those who had already early voted were open the polls this morning with 11%. So I expect we'll have another 10 to 12% voters that will actually turn out at the polls today. If you go to our website, votesjc.com, we actually have a voter turnout report that's available there, and you can watch voter turnout actually as it happens.
Wow, votesjc.com, polling places all over St. John's County. Anything else voters need to know before they go out and vote in this referendum on the half-cent sales tax?
Actually, we did make a few polling place changes since the last April election we had during the springtime. Voters were sent notices, but, you know, it always helps to take a minute to go to our website. There's a really nice tool that we have. It's called the Voter Lookup Tool that you can put in your information and bring up your voter record, verify your polling place. It's a real time saver to get to your correct polling place the first time.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, and I'm sure it's going to be a long day for you, so we appreciate you giving us a few minutes.
Oh, glad. And I just hope, you know, this is a very important issue. This is an issue that affects everyone in St. John's County because it is a sales tax, and then because of our communities and our schools. And I hope our voters will think it's important, too, and actually show so by turning out to vote today.
Absolutely. That's Vicki Oakes on the line. She is the St. John's County Supervisor of Elections. If you live in St. John's County, get out and cast your ballot. The polls are open right now until 7 p.m. this evening. To find your polling place, go to that website, votesjc.com. About 7,500 votes already cast by early vote on this election day so far. According to the live total on the website, more than 2,000 votes cast, but the turnout is just ramping up. And joining us now in studio with an in-depth look at this referendum, we're pleased to welcome Beverly Slaw, chair of the St. John's County School Board. So pleased to have you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
And the number to join us this morning on the program, we want to know where you stand. Where do you think St. John's County should go when it comes to this issue of voting up or down a half-cent sales tax to fund new construction and improvements to the schools in St. John's County? 20 new schools are anticipated to be needed in St. John's over the next decade. 20 new schools will need to be built in St. John's. Let us know what you think. Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show. Or we're already getting your comments on Facebook. We'll get to those in a moment. Beverly Slaw, I guess in a way, St. John's County is a victim of its own success. This county is known far and wide, in fact, known all over the country for its top-ranked schools. So everyone's moving there.
Well, and that's a blessing and a curse. We're always delighted to have new students come to join us, and our goal is to educate every single one of them to his highest potential. But on the flip of it, we have to have permanent seats for them.
Absolutely. And so the overcrowding situation has gotten to a crisis point. Lots of kids in trailers or relocatable buildings. No way to pay for new construction. So the school board earlier this year decided upon this idea. Is that right?
That's correct. We got caught up in the perfect storm during the recession. The legislature cut our capital outlay millage from 2 mills to 1.5 mills at the same time that housing values were dropping. So those two things taken together dropped revenues. And at the same time, we were the only county in the whole state that was still increasing in our student numbers.
And you're one of the only counties in the state that's still at a 6 cent sales tax as well. Is that also correct?
That is correct. There are only 9 counties in the state of Florida that remain at the minimum 6%.
So if the voters approve this, the sales tax in St. John's County will go from 6 to 6.5 cents when people are buying groceries or items anywhere going out to eat. They'll pay a little more in sales tax.
That's true, but it's important to remember that food and medication, things like that, are exempt from the sales tax. So that's important for people on a fixed income.
And so how will the sales tax be levied? Let's explain how this will be levied and how the school board will be able to then capture these funds and how they'll be used if approved.
We anticipate that approximately $13 million per year will be raised from the half cent. And we've developed a projects list that includes, as you mentioned, 4 new schools, as well as additions and renovations to several others, enhancement of educational technology, and enhanced safety for our students.
Let's go to your calls right now for Beverly Slaw, the chairwoman of the St. John's County School Board, as voters in St. John's head to the polls today to decide whether to approve a half-cent sales tax that would pay for new school construction. This is due to explosive growth in St. John's County. Tens of thousands of new students there. 549-2937. Tony is in Northeast St. John's. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm calling because I am a resident in St. John's, Florida, so I'm up here where there is a lot of growth happening. We have a couple of new schools, and it was an incentive for us to move here. With regards to the new schools that they're planning, St. John's County is very vast, though. So does this incorporate schools that are going to be built down Nocatee or, well, I'm not sure if that's which county that is, or Palencia down into St. Augustine? How vast an area is this? Is this growth potential for the sales tax, so the new schools that are going to be built?
The sales tax revenue will cover projects all over the county. On the project list is a new K-8 or elementary school in the Nocatee area, another in the northwest portion over in St. John's where you live, a school in World Golf Village area, one in the south part of the county, and expansions to schools like Southwoods Elementary. And in addition to that, just renovations to other schools.
And let's go to Daryl in St. Augustine. Hello, Daryl. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I have two questions. Will any of the money be used for charter schools? That will eliminate my vote for it. And the second question is, what guarantee do we have that this will not be your lottery bait and switch?
Two excellent questions. Yeah. Thank you, Daryl. Okay. So some skepticism, concerns about how the money will be used. What about those questions?
None of the money will be used for charter schools because although charter schools are public schools, they are privately operated. So they aren't part of our traditional public school system. All the money will be used for traditional public schools in St. Johns County. Secondly, the thing, we have that projects list that was part of the proposal to get the referendum on the ballot, and we are going to appoint a citizens committee to give oversight that ensures that we spend those monies the way that we define them.
And what about his concern that, you know, whenever it comes to education in the state of Florida, people reference the lottery. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the bugaboo people always think of. Oh, well, we approved the lottery for education and the money just never quite made it to the schools the way we were promised.
And that's exactly the truth. I like his term bait and switch with that lottery. The lottery monies, many of them are spent on education. However, they're spent on Bright Future scholarships and monies for school recognition dollars. Very, very few discretionary dollars come to school districts to be spent for the needs of our students.
And if you're just tuning in as we speak right now with Beverly Slaw, the chairwoman of the St. Johns County School Board, lots of calls, especially from folks in St. Johns County about the election today there. Where do you stand on whether to approve a half-cent sales tax in the county to approve new money for school expansion? It is estimated that the district, the public school district there, over the next decade, anticipates a nearly 50% increase in the number of public school students. They anticipate a need to build as many as 20 new schools in St. Johns County over the next decade. In fact, they need to build 3 new schools today. The question is how to pay for it. What are your thoughts? 549-2937. Jenny is in St. Augustine. Hi, Jenny. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Go right ahead.
I am fully in support of the sales tax because I'm a volunteer in the school system through RSVP, and I certainly see the need for what we have to do for our children. However, I also think that I would like to see Beverly, with all due respect, use the power of your office, and the superintendent of schools use the power of his office, rally parents, teachers, school administrators, and everybody in this county to storm the county commission and demand that developers build appropriate schools for our children when they put in new communities. What they do now is they come in under the limit. So if the requirement is you put 80 homes up, you have to build a school, they'll put up 78. That is so transparent and such a game that it's ridiculous. And every citizen should be very concerned about that, and our county commissioners should respect our children and the parents who are trying to raise them in this decent community.
Jenny in St. Aug. Okay, thanks for that, Jenny.
Can we look forward to your help on that, Beverly?
Well, the school district works closely with the county all the time, and we work with the laws that we have in effect, many of which are state laws that apply to the concurrency requirements for developers to provide the school infrastructure that we need. And I certainly agree with you. I wish that more could be done. And I talk with my representatives and all of the county commissioners on a regular basis about that. And yes, ma'am, you have my support in that regard.
Do you think that the commission is not exercising appropriate oversight when it comes to development and St. Johns County does have a reputation in some quarters for sprawl and rapid development without always making sure that infrastructure needs are accounted for?
I think the county commission works really hard to hold the developer accountable. One thing that most people don't realize is that a great deal of the growth that is coming to us now was approved prior to concurrency requirements, and those developments were approved in 2008 before concurrency laws became in effect in 2007 before 2008, and so they aren't required to provide the things that newly approved developments are now.
Lots of tweets coming in. Jay tweets the show. I hope they pass it. Quality education is the best tool to improve quality of life. It increases inequality and ends poverty. Another tweet, a half-cent sales tax is worth it. The quality of the St. John's schools is directly responsible for the property appreciation you see in that county. And then on our First Coast Connect Facebook page, just a couple of comments coming into the show from listeners. Education is the most important factor for the future. A half-cent sales tax increase seems to be a no-brainer. Here's another comment from Dan. I bet the conservative voters in the county will talk themselves into not doing this. What about that? Let me ask you about that, Beverly. St. John's County is a conservative-minded county, fairly Republican, I think it's fair to say. Do you think that voters might decide, well, I just don't want to vote for a tax increase?
There are some people who absolutely feel that way, and I respect that. It's a matter of principle. I'm a fiscal conservative myself, and ordinarily do not support increases in taxes. However, I believe that a tax of this sort that is very close to the local level and that can be monitored closely by the electorate is a viable thing to use.
Lori on the West Side. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi there. It was my understanding that you said that you were only expecting like 20 to 30% of the voters to turn out?
Yeah, I believe the supervisor of elections, that was her estimate.
All right. Well, I only have one comment for St. John's County and Duval County. If that's all we can muster to come out, we have an all-time new hallmark, and that is the hallmark of apathy. So get out there and vote, people. Make your voice count.
Thanks, Lori. I'm sure you agree with that, Beverly.
Absolutely.
Let's go now to Jeff in St. Augustine. Lots of calls from the county itself. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Oh, yeah, good morning. I would say that we've also had early voting. I already voted last week. Someone told me that this had to have a 20% supermajority to pass. I guess that's a question. And then the comment I had was, you know, the county's running a surplus. My community did a $3 million project that was supposed to be financed by bonds, and we're charged the interest on the bonds, but the county had enough money to pay that out of pocket, and we're paying the interest to the county instead of to the bonds. So we're paying interest on money we already gave the county in previous years. Also, the state has a surplus, and they're giving big tax breaks to big corporations. So I actually voted for the increase because I know the schools desperately need the money. I have two students in the schools. But, you know, I think there's plenty of other ways this could be done, and I also strongly think that it's probably not going to pass. And I think higher impact fees and more money from the states are really the right solution, not this half-cent tax on current residents.
Well, to address your first question, no supermajority is required. We just have to have one vote over, you know, majority. That's all, one vote. So depending on how many people turn out, then mm-hmm. My heart wants a 60% majority, but we'll see.
But you need 50% plus one.
50% plus one.
Yeah. Glenn in St. John's County. Hi, Glenn. Where do you stand?
Well, I'm not opposed to good education, and we've had good education for years. What I am opposed to is the sales tax, simply due to the fact that the developers and real estate people moving in, and they're making tons of money off of this. Developers will eventually donate a little piece of land for schools. They're usually too small, and it's usually too late when they do it. However, the people making the money ought to be the ones to back this and to pay for this. The other reason I'm against the 6% sales, I'm already being taxed for schools. I just got my tax bill, and my tax bill for what I am assessed for the three items on there for the schools, my assessment is about $40,000 more than the regular assessment for the county and all of that. So to say that we're only going to get like a $70 a year, no, we're already paying more than that. So that's a misnomer. And let the people that are making the money pay the money.
So are you advocating perhaps a property tax as opposed to a sales tax, Glenn?
No, what I'm saying is that we're already paying it in the property tax. Mm-hmm. Property tax bill just came out, and the assessed value on my property is $40,000 higher just for the three lines on there that are for the schools in itself. $40,000 higher than my regular assessment on the same property for the county and all of the other millage rates.
So would you rather see impact fees assessed then?
Well, we had impact fees before, and a lot of people pay them. What I'd really like to see is if you're going to be a developer and you're going to come into St. John's County, you need to have your act together and know that it's going to cost you X amount of money to come in there and do that, because you're going to have to help build a school. The other problem that we have is our churches. These guys are coming in there. The churches are getting no money at all from these developers. And not only are we having to help support schools, but that are faith-based are having to help support the churches.
Thanks, Glenn. And I think we're getting a little off topic now. But thank you, Glenn. What about his comments?
Well, I don't understand too much what he was saying, because I don't know how he would have $40,000 more assessed for schools than he must own a whole lot of property, is all I have to say about that. But the only portion of his tax bill that goes to school construction is the 1.5 mils for capital.
Tim is in Yulee. Hi, Tim. Good morning. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, you know, since I've been listening to your show, you know, it seems like every time St. John's County's on there, they have a good problem. So I would applaud them, you know, for their model, and I hope they do get their half-cent sales tax, you know, because, you know, you hear a lot of times with Duval County, they have a lot of issues with their school systems. So I will hope that they would, you know, kind of listen to what St. John's County is doing. And I would also encourage people to come up here to Nassau County, because we got some great things going on, too. You know, we have roads going in. I think we got a new school going in. And, you know, I hope that Nassau County is going to be modeling St. John County. So good on you. Good problem to have. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Tim. That's Tim calling from Yulee. He's right in that this is a good problem to have.
It is.
Certainly is. Tom on the west side. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I was just wondering why the emphasis is on a sales tax rather than traditional property taxes. And then the previous caller mentioned a impact fee. And as it seems to be driven by growth, it seems like both of those solutions seem better than the rather regressive sales tax.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. What about that argument that a sales tax is regressive and impacts lower income folks, that a property tax would spread the burden more toward higher income residents?
Well, our school district, I in particular, and the superintendent in particular, have worked hard for the last 5 years to get the legislature to restore the half mil of impact of the capital outlay millage that they cut in during the recession, and there is no indication that they plan to do so. In fact, the answer to us is, what are you doing locally? And finally, we decided we had to do something locally. In regard to impact fees, the study is coming up this next year, and hopefully those will raise some, but they were never intended to cover the whole burden.
Why is that?
Because if you were to assess enough impact fee to cover the cost of the student station, which is about $20,000, it would make homes just unaffordable.
How much would it spike the cost of housing in the county?
Well, if you and it's even hard to assess it, because if you guesstimated that a home would generate 1.5 children, then that would be an additional $30,000 if you really wanted to cover the cost of the student station.
So you're saying if you put all of this on impact fees, that developers would jack up the price of the average St. Johns County home by $30,000?
Yes, because I bought a home almost 7 years ago. My developer paid impact fees, but it was charged back to me in the sales price of my home. So it's always passed back to the home buyer. Mm-hmm.
And you don't think that will sell in St.
No,
Johns?
I don't think it'll sell any place.
Let's go to Harry in St. Augustine. Hi, Harry.
Hi, I just wanted to say that someone else paid taxes to educate my children. Someone else is helping pay taxes in another county to educate my grandchildren. My wife and I voted already by absentee ballot, and we voted for the half-cent tax. If I buy $100 of groceries, it's going to cost me only $3 extra to help educate children. Who's going to take care of us when we're old? If we don't have education for kids, you know, who are going to be nurses' aides or nurses or doctors or whatever else. So other people help to educate my children. Now I'm willing to help educate other people's children. Thank you.
Thanks, Harry. One more call, Mike in Crescent Beach. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
I just want to make one comment, and it's probably not going to be popular, but there is another group other than developers who benefit from the increase in population, and that's the small business owner. I was quite surprised in talking to one guy that owns a restaurant and a fellow that cuts my hair when I was inveighing against a development here in South St. John's that called King's Grant, where they're going to want to put almost 1,000 homes and other things in basically the Piney Forest. And they were all in favor of having that development because it's going to increase their business. So I really think in some ways a sales tax, you know, is not that bad a way to go. And frankly, we're not taxed that high. And that's really my only comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Lots of calls this morning. Any final thoughts, Beverly Slaw?
Well, I'm excited to hear the comments. And I never mind people who have objections, because we just need to address those things and try to help people to understand. I just would urge people, please go vote. It would make me very happy if we had 100% turnout, which I know is impossible, but I would be very happy were that to be true. People need to be informed and go and vote their conscience, and we'll look for a great outcome tonight.
And the website to learn your polling place is votesjc.com. Again, that election is today in St. John's County. The polls are open until 7 this evening. Beverly Slaw, chairwoman of the St. John's County School Board, thanks for being with us today.
I enjoyed it greatly. Thank you.
And much more still ahead later. We'll tell you about that special White House convening this week on the UNF campus. But up next, how one southern city's unique transit solution could be an option for our own Skyway. That's in a moment.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Tracy Stewart. She and her husband, John Stewart, are starting a farm animal sanctuary, which has long been Tracy's dream. She's a former vet tech and describes herself as obsessed with animals. Her new book is called Do Unto Animals. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Join WJCT on Thursday, November 5 from 6 to 9 p.m. for a screening and discussion of Debt of Honor. This documentary, a moving tribute to the history of disabled veterans, takes an unflinching look at the reality of warfare and disability. After the screening, join us for a panel discussion about what work is being done in Jacksonville to serve our disabled veterans and what's still left to do. The event is free, but registration is required. Log on to wjct.org/events to RSVP.
Listen to After Hours to relax with music that spans the world in all styles, from classical to doo-wop. Weeknights at 7, only on 89.9 FM.
Welcome back. Well, it's a dilemma for the Jacksonville Transportation Authority, and one they're trying to figure out right now: what to do with the outmoded Jacksonville Skyway. Now, there are a number of options on the table, like tearing it down, expanding it, or maybe something else altogether. But what would that something else be? One innovative transit solution that a few American cities have tried is known as Personal Rapid Transit, or PRT. Now, the way it works is, instead of riding with dozens of other commuters on a train car or a bus, PRT pods carry a very small number of people, and instead of making lots of stops, that PRT pod takes you directly to your destination nonstop. The system's being used in a few cities, like Greenville, South Carolina, where it's called the Skyweb Express. Former WTLV News Director and Transit Advocate Dave Richardson will advocate for the Skyway Express-type system. He's been talking to the advisory board looking at options for the Jacksonville Skyway, and he joins us now with details. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Now, NPR has looked at this, and so have some other media outlets. This is an interesting mode of transit. It's called PRT, and it looks kind of futuristic. How does it work?
Well, as you've pointed out, it's an elevated system. which provides the opportunity for travelers to go point to point, nonstop destination. It's semi-private. You can decide with whom you want to ride. It doesn't compete with railroad crossings, emergency vehicles, pedestrians, and other vehicles. The one that's operating in West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia, has been operating for about 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It operates at about 99% of the time, which is a very high rate. We don't have any other transit mode that does that. They've never had an accident in 40 years. It moves 16,000 people every day in a population of 30,000 people. We believe that the system in Jacksonville, the Skyway, when I was at Jackson or at Channel 12, I sent a crew to France. We spent about 90 minutes on the air with a live call-in show. We spent a lot of resources looking at the Skyway system that was proposed back then. It didn't turn out what we thought it was going to be. So we have the options available to us today in front of us. What are we going to do? Overhaul it, which is probably a non-starter. Nobody in the world wants to overhaul these current systems. We have 4 of the 10 trains already out of service. We can decommission it, which is one of the options. That means run it 3 to 5 years, continue to pay an operating and maintenance expense of about $6.3 million a year. Or we can put something else on the current infrastructure.
Current infrastructure, like PRT.
Like PRT.
And I misspoke. It's Morgantown, West Virginia. Greenville, South Carolina is looking
is
at this system.
Yes.
But they're hesitant, and other cities are as well, simply because cities are afraid of being the first one to try it.
Yeah, I think that's true. Fresno, California, 7 other cities in California are looking. We just recently returned from Baltimore, that has issued a request for information. We actually turned it in on a Friday, and the CEO was there, received a phone call Monday, and was there the following Wednesday. I'm headed back to Clemson University in December. Interestingly enough, the president of Clemson is Dr. James Clements, who was the president at West Virginia University. He's very interested mm-hmm. in a campus atmosphere that has PRT as a solution. So we're returning for our second visit. And obviously, Clemson and Greenville are very close to one another. The airport in Greenville is also considering PRT because instead of building a $30 million parking garage, they're going to spend $1 million for a surface parking lot and then use this system to take people from their terminal to the surface parking facility.
So how will you sell this to the JTA? Because as we're hearing, they really do have a tough dilemma, and funding is such an issue. Any option they have is sort of the least bad option.
It is.
If they tear it down, they lose money. If they expand it, there's no money. If they build something different, there's no money. How do you sell them on this idea?
Part of that is the funding. We have available funding. We have banks who, through infrastructure investment funds, are willing to come to Jacksonville, Florida, and put up the necessary money to build a system. Whether we do that as a retrofit and in phases to the neighborhoods, San Marcos, Springfield, Riverside, and certainly out here where this studio is located near the football stadium,
mm-hmm.
Riverbank Field. It's called access and connectivity. If we put 35 or 40 stations that are within 4 blocks walking distance, everybody has access. The connectivity is we have all the downtown area now connected. It gives us a downtown of about 16,000 people all of a sudden because they're all connected.
You're really frustrated, I can tell, as a former news director who remembers when the Skyway first went in, and you've witnessed all of the failures over the years and all of the frustration. Do you see this as a critical moment of decision for Jacksonville when it comes to what this agency decides?
Yeah. Yes. I have spent the last 4 years. Almost 4 years working on this, and I have shared this solution with a number of people in Jacksonville. And they all say the same thing. That would change downtown Jacksonville dramatically. We have to have political willpower to do things like this. The skeptics will say, because it's true, You do not have a fully deployed system in the world. Well, there are. There are four systems currently and another one coming online in Tel Aviv. Morgantown has been operating on an older technology. They're getting ready to update that technology. But yes, it is very difficult because of the transportation authorities operate based upon what the federal government will fund. And if the federal government says we will fund this, you know, the solution du jour for a lot of cities right now is bus rapid transit, which we are doing in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. That's taxpayer dollars. Terrific. And you know, like roads and bridges, that's what we have to do in society. So, but the funding takes so long. I mean, it's an 8-year process just to get anything done.
And how much private capital do you think PRT can attract?
Well, you need. They're quite willing to finance it. We were in a meeting in New York City with one of the top six executives of one of the world's largest transportation funding companies. They're more than willing to put up the necessary money. I mean,
what are we talking?
To do a system here that mm-hmm. we have proposed, it would probably in the $250 million range to do a 15 to 17 mile system.
How quickly do they recoup that investment?
Well, it takes 30 years. It's a payback period over a 30-year. I mean, whether it's a toll road system or whether. But mm-hmm. the nice thing about this particular solution is we believe the operating cost for an APM, which the Skyway is, an automated people mover, only collects about 20% or so through fares to fund the operation and maintenance. We think we can do that in full and even have money left over for the debt service. We think there's about $10 million minimum in revenue.
So from here, you will continue to advocate for this.
Yes.
Because the subcommittee looking at this issue, they're going to come out with their recommendations next month. I mean, this window is closing pretty soon.
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
The Skyway Advisory Group, and I would say 70% of that group have seen this solution as well. I've mm-hmm. shown it to them personally one-on-one.
And what did they say?
They all think it's a great idea, but, you know, they're going to rely upon what information the staff at JTA is providing them. And that's what I'm trying to do is make sure that they're getting all the information that is available to them for solutions. Streetcars are a solution. If we wait 5 years and spend another $30 million in operating costs, then spend $25 million to tear it down, that is one solution. Then replace it with streetcars, which is a cost per mile, much higher cost than what this system would be, which is somewhere in the $18 to $23 million per mile range, much less. And the infrastructure. The infrastructure is only 3 feet wide.
It looks like this is a little cartoonish, but you know, when you first showed me the images of it, you know what I thought of?
Tell me the Jetsons.
The Jetsons. It looks like the Jetsons.
That's interesting because
that's what I thought of.
Yeah, about 2 years or 3 years ago, we were in New York visiting with some folks from Israel. Mm. And after a very lengthy meeting, a gentleman asked if he could ask some questions. And we answered his questions and then said, so you're telling me this is the Jetsons today?
It looks like the little pods that the family and the Jetsons traveled around in.
Right. Think of a Volkswagen, 1960s Volkswagen Bug, mm-hmm. You know, on top of this fixed guideway system.
Yeah.
You can also think of it as an Uber vehicle. It's on demand.
Yeah, you ride it on demand, point to point.
Point to point. It is a riderless or driverless car. It's a Google car. We're a long way off from Google cars being on the streets in the United States. And I think it is a solution that I hope the Skyway Advisory Committee, the Skyway Advisory Group, the task force that will make a recommendation to the full board on December the 10th, gives it full consideration. And these options that are available to them, they've got to figure out what to do, but not necessarily what the second stage might be. If they say decommission, what do we do next?
Yeah. This is certainly one interesting option and fascinating to discuss. So we thank you so much for sharing it with our listeners.
Thank you.
And up next, why the White House is working with UNF to send more kids to college. That's right after this. Thank you.
When people have no home, they might sleep outside, panhandle, or eat their meals in a public space. All of these potential violations of local laws.
The response should not be to make it a crime. The response should be to ensure that people have a place to live.
Battling the criminalization of homelessness, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
WJCT and Vistar Credit Union present the 13th annual Mr. Rogers Sweater Drive. The drive runs through November 30th and accepts new and gently used men, women, and children's sweaters, jackets, socks, and blankets. Contributions may be dropped at WJCT and all Vistar Credit Union locations and Two Men in a Truck at 8849 Arlington Expressway. For more information, log on to WJCT.org. Contributions will be donated to selected nonprofit facilities within the First Coast area.
This is Watch Officer Miller Norton with the Duval County Emergency Preparedness Division. Disasters can strike with little to no notice. Create your disaster kit now, including water, non-perishable food, batteries, flashlight, weather radio, and important documents. Visit jacksready.com for more information and tune to 89.9, the designated emergency broadcaster for Northeast Florida.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, it's a huge honor for the University of North Florida. The third annual White House Convening is taking place on the UNF campus this week, an event focused on helping all students prepare for college or career. Dr. Carolyn Stone is a professor of counselor educator at UNF, and she's on the line to tell us more. Dr. Stone, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Anytime you hear about a White House convening, that helps grab a lot of attention. Can you tell us what this is all about?
My pleasure. We had our first Reach Higher White House convening. This is the First Lady's initiative to inspire every student in America to look beyond high school for education, whether it's college, 2-year or 4-year, whether it's a professional training program or a certification, quality certification program. The first of her initiatives happened at Harvard, July 2014, and she had her second one at San Diego State last November. And we were so excited to be chosen to be the third convening, and it is going on right now.
And
it is all about... Go ahead.
Yes, and this is happening today and tomorrow on the campus. What is taking place exactly?
We have keynote speakers from around the country who are focused on how do we expose students to college and career opportunities. This is through the lens of school counseling. What is it that we need to do in school counseling, pre-K-12, that is going to help students understand financial aid eligibility and encourage academic planning and provide summer learning opportunities for these students? We want to figure out how to support more students to access higher ed after high school. So we have brought together 33 states. They were given the invitation to bring 8 people from their state. Intentionality with the invitations, like the supervisor, the state supervisor of guidance, the state career and technical ed person, and whoever's in charge of credentialing for the state, along with 5 other titled positions. So those folks are here now, along with 8 counseling associations and 4 representatives from the First Lady's office, around galvanizing the nation to try to help with the school counseling piece to reach the president's 2020 goal of 60% of adults in America, 25 to 34, will have college degrees.
And that is an ambitious target to hit.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're not even halfway there, are we, in this country?
We are currently ranked number 10th. 40% of adults in America have some kind of have a college degree. We will have to galvanize and increase that number by 3.7 million more students, the traditional students who come to college and don't receive their degree. We need to close that gap. We also need to look at those students who have some college degree, some college courses, close that gap. And 12.4 million more certificates and high-quality post-secondary training of some sort that doesn't necessarily involve college. So it's a very ambitious goal, but there are metrics in place that school counselors are part of the conversation, trying to meet those metrics so that we can provide those 20 million additional credentialed people that will be needed to move America's economy forward in 2025.
That's what it's all about, right, Dr. Stone? This is all about being globally competitive.
Absolutely. We come at it through the lens, school counselors, primarily because of who we are. We come at it through the lens of equity, because we know the disparities are huge. But the truth is, in our country, we can't maintain our economy if we're a country of haves and have-nots. And when you look at who loses their job when we have an economic downturn, those with bachelor's degrees fare better. They also regroup better. 4.3 bachelor's degrees unemployed in the economic downturn as compared to 9.6 who don't have that degree, and 14.3 who have less than a high school. So we're looking at those metrics and saying, how can we, as a nation, look at all the major players? And the First Lady has shown her light on the role that school counselors play. And UNF was chosen because of our school counseling preparation program. It has been a national model around college and career readiness. And Florida in November probably didn't hurt, but we were chosen.
I bet.
We were chosen, exactly, because we do. We have been touted as one of the two best preparation programs in the nation for preparing people in field work to close these numbers.
That's fabulous. And I'm curious to ask as well, college is out of reach for so many kids because of the high cost. Will college affordability be on the agenda this week?
It absolutely is on the agenda, as well as some of the strategies that could factor into that, such as, for example, banded tuition, where you pay for 15, you can take up to 21. And trying to help students graduate in 4 years instead of the 6 years that we're seeing has become the norm. So we're looking more at banded tuition. We're looking at upping from 12 credits as a full-time student to the option of 15 and encouraging that. Ways to help students graduate, if you take what they consider a full-time course every semester, you still aren't going to graduate in 4 years. So the affordability piece, getting folks out with 120 hours and not graduating with 138, 140, making it more affordable.
So much on the agenda, and what an honor for the University of North Florida. Dr. Carolyn Stone, we so appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Carolyn Stone is a professor with UNF, a counselor educator. Happening this week on the campus is the third annual White House Convening, Strengthening School Counseling and College Advising, a national effort to prepare students for college or career. And that's our program. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today. Our producer is Sean Birch. Michelle Corum is running the board today. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. If you have feedback, just drop an email to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And never miss a show. Subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Next on Diane Rehm, the new season of open enrollment in the Affordable Care Act is underway. 10 million Americans remain uninsured. The White House is looking for new ways to encourage people to sign up. Diana and a panel of experts discuss the Affordable Care Act and what consumers need to know. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.